Thank you that you so loved the world that you sent your Son. Son of God. Thank you that you so loved the world that you lay your life down for us. We receive now, by remembering and by your Spirit, your love towards us. This bread reminds us of your body given for us to bring us to God. It reminds us that you did not spare anything to demonstrate your love. And this cup speaks to the life that we get through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. And we take time now, Lord, to confess that we have sinned. We do sin in thought, word, and deed. And we confess that we are sorry and seek you for forgiveness and for newness of life. As God, as we eat and as we drink, we want to also confess we need more of your love. So sustain us, keep us, help us remain in this, we ask, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's eat together. People of Jesus' day, we pick up in verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I wonder who has helped you grow in faith in your life. I found this picture. That's me in the orange circle there in the orange. I'm 12 years of age and I'm being baptized down at Christie's Beach. Can't remember what time of year it was. It looks nice and sunny, doesn't it? In that picture are some people that have had a massive impact and helped me grow in faith. The dark-skinned man on the right, that's my dad. Good-looking man, isn't he? I take a little after him. That's my dad. And my dad has had a huge impact on my life in terms of following Jesus. He and Mum worked a long time with very vulnerable people and mostly Indigenous Aboriginal people in South Australia. And I grew up seeing them live out faith in a costly way. I was never guessing what it might mean to make a difference in the world and to follow Jesus with people like my mum and dad. Across the other side is another dark-skinned man called Uncle Keith Milden. For anyone who knows anything about the Aboriginal ministry in South Australia, I would dare to say that nearly every believer in South Australia could trace their lineage of faith back to that man. He was a Maori who left New Zealand in his 20s, 30s, ended up coming to South Australia, I'm not sure why. And he worked among the Aboriginal people for decades and decades. He's the only non-Aboriginal person buried down at Rowkin, which is Ngunnawal land. They adopted him into the family. Uncle Keith was good friends with my dad. Being two Maoris, they were good mates. And Uncle Keith would spend a lot of time at our house. I'd sleep in the bunk bed and Uncle Keith would sleep down below. And he'd often talk to me. So I might have been, 11 through to probably 18 years of age. And he'd talk to me about his love for Jesus. He'd get me to pray with him for the people that he was serving. He talked to me about his struggles. Yeah, Uncle Keith was very special to me. The other thing that he did is he taught me guitar, banjo, ukulele. He tried to teach me the accordion. He was an extraordinary musician and gave me every opportunity to play anything I wanted to. Just a little to the right of Uncle Keith is Auntie Dot and Uncle Jim. Love. Auntie Dot and Uncle Jim had just become Christians in this picture. So they'd just become Christians, and two of their daughters are in this picture as well, Tammy and Joni. It turns out there's my sister's next to me on my right, and my other sister, Megan, is the littlest one in the picture. But they'd just become Christians, and they had a really significant change in their life. Auntie Dot is like the matriarch down at Rowcan. Rowcan is the little town that's on the $50 note. There's a little church on the $50 note with David Yanalpin. And that church is where David Yanalpin was the pastor for a little while, for a period of time. So that church is where they live. Sadly, Uncle Jim passed away a few years ago. But Auntie Dot, she taught me many things. Auntie Dot taught me to pray, taught me to sing for hours and hours and hours. She has the biggest heart you'll ever come across. Just an extraordinary capacity to love what others might consider unlovely people. There's just a few people in that picture that have had a massive impact on my life. In fact, as I think about who's helped me grow in faith, I think I need to be thankful at all the incidental things that folk have done through my life. If I were to go through nearly any picture in my photo album of people who are Christians, or even some non-Christians, they've all helped me in some way over my life. How about you? Who's helped you grow in faith? Some people, incidentally, they didn't know they were doing it. Some people, proactively, they sought you out. They got in contact with you, sat you down. They did it on purpose. 2 years ago, I was working on the kids' church content, just trying to hone it a bit, trying to figure out what we're trying to do. And in our kids' church, we've got this kind of purpose, which is we're growing children in following Jesus. And I was thinking, well, what are we trying to achieve here to get to that goal? How will we know that they're growing? There are lots of things we could say about that. And we could just say following Jesus is enough of a statement already. Because if you follow Jesus, then everything else is embodied in that. But I thought, well, I'm going to start with the three commands to love that Jesus gives. We've heard all three today. The command to love God, the command to love your neighbor in Matthew 22, and the command to love one another. These three love commands. And I thought, well, why don't we start there? That we'll try and help our kids love God, which I gave a simple title to as faith, to love their neighbor. And if you follow the story of what it means to love our neighbor, turns out that that's the heart of that is not gushy feelings. The heart of that is serving somebody who's in need. Do you remember the Good Samaritan story? That story is told to explain who the neighbor is that you ought to love. So I put the title service on that one. And then finally, loving one another, the one another of belonging to the people of God. And then, because you need sentences, you can't just have words, can you? So I had these three sentences that just kind of popped out. Follow and help others follow Jesus. Serve and help others serve. Belong and help others belong. The reason why I added the and help others follow and help others follow, is I thought, wait a minute, if I'm following Jesus, I'm also meant to help others follow. So we better make sure that that's something we're wanting our kids to grow in. Follow and help others follow. Well, I've got to make it all look the same now, don't I? Say, oh, okay, serve and help others serve, belong and help others belong. So I've sat with these three sentences for 2 years and thought a lot about them. I thought, you know, what would I add? What would I take away? What am I missing? No doubt there's stuff to add and to take away and there are things I'm missing. But on the whole, I thought, I think that these are good goals for our children. And what I've come to realize, it's actually the three little words that are in that sentence make a big difference. And help others. We would often emphasize to our children and to probably you should follow. You do belong and you should serve. But those words, and help others, take what we apply personally and ask of us to extend it towards someone else and help them apply. I reckon those three little words make a big difference. Because those three little words, I think, are indicators of the strength of our faith. If your faith is strong, you help others follow. If you have a strong sense of belonging, you help others belong. It's a kingdom principle, isn't it? Like you are blessed to be a blessing. Whatever you receive, you're meant to share with others. So that's a kingdom principle. It's also the principle of love, that I use the good I have to strengthen others and to serve others. So in the first command of love, I'm to use all of my strength, my heart, my mind, my strength, in service to God as worship. In the second command, which is like the first, is that from the good that I have, if I see a need, I'm to love my neighbor and meet that need. And then finally, from the John 15 passage, from the love of Jesus, we are meant to love one another. It's the principle of love. Love takes you have the good that is given you, and then you are to use it to strengthen and to serve others. And that's what these three words captures. And help others. Follow and help others follow Jesus. Serve and help others serve. Belong and help others belong. What's true for our children is actually true for us all. There's a principle when you're communicating. If you can tell a 12-year-old an idea, you can tell anyone. If you can tell a child what matters, then you can tell anyone. It's true for children that these things, follow, serve and belong and help others, is something that we want for them, but actually we want it for all of us, not just for our children. Helping others follow means that we share our relationship that we have with Jesus together. That's how you help others follow. Sure, you can have mentoring programs, Bible study, reading applications, all that. But fundamentally, what you are doing when you are helping others follow is you are inviting them into the relationship you have with Jesus. Parents do this. They bring their children into their relationship with Jesus. As they read the Bible with them, as they pray together. Right at this moment, I'm down to one. My youngest still lets me do this. And we have this little wrestle. It's your turn to pray. No, I prayed yesterday. It's always my turn to pray. But parents invite their children into their relationship with Jesus. They discuss ideas. They live out their faith. That's what we're doing. Is we don't actually need a program to do that. We need a relationship with Jesus to do that. And our children get to come into that. Now that's really challenging. That if helping others follow means that we share the relationship we have with Jesus together, you can see the challenge there, can't you? What if I'm not confident in my walk with Jesus? I feel a bit vulnerable now that if I'm to invite someone to join with me in my walk with Jesus and I'm not confident about my walk with Jesus, that doesn't sound like an easy thing to do. What if I lack depth in my relationship with Jesus? There's challenges there, which is why I think it's a sign of the strength of your faith. If you lack confidence in your walk with Jesus, then you're probably not helping others follow. And if you lack depth in your walk with Jesus, you're probably not helping others follow. And that's a challenge to receive. It's actually a good thing for you to be aware that today, a sign of the strength of your faith is whether you're helping others follow. And if you have reservations about that, ask yourself the question, why? Why am I worried about other people sharing the relationship I have with Jesus? Because that needs to be addressed. The people in this room, unlike the children in the rear hall, are big people. You're here for a reason. You're growing into either being an adult or you are an adult. So the children at the back are starting their journey. Many of you are a long way down the track. And by now, you should have confidence in your walk with Jesus. And you should not lack depth. Here's the strange thing though. Do you know how confident you need to be and how deep you need to be to invite someone into your relationship with Jesus? Years ago, I saw a young lady who'd just become a Christian in our youth group start already to pray with others, to share her faith with others. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. It just has to be authentic and real and something that's living in your life. She didn't know much, but she was completely confident in her relationship with Jesus, and that was enough. And you can do this. You can share, you can help people share in your relationship that you have with Jesus. You can do it incidentally. That actually already happens. Strange thing. But if you're sitting in a room together, and sorry that the folk at home aren't here, but if you're sitting in a room together, just looking around the room and seeing people from all different walks of life, ages and stages, worshipping Jesus, praying together, already communicates something to every one of us. Listening to a team of people worship God at the front already invites us into your relationship with Jesus. These are all incidental things that just happen because we're here together, meeting together and worshipping our God. Or you can do it on purpose. This guy, Uncle David to me, Uncle David, a lot younger there. I'm guessing he might be in his mid to late 70s now, but Uncle David was the associate pastor at the church that I grew up in. And so my dad was the pastor and Uncle David was the associate pastor. To be honest, I have no idea how old he is in this picture. He did go on to be the pastor at Westcare for some years, if any of you know him through that period of time. Started Adventure Services and a lot of things that Baptist Care now do as major programs, David Wright actually began. Amazing guy. So when I was 14 years of age, Uncle David said to me, "I have a prayer meeting. I want you to come. Tuesday mornings starts at, I think it was 6 o'clock. I think I might have told you this, but everyone else in the prayer meeting was 35 and up. I was 14. Uncle David saw something in me where he thought, this young man's hungry for God, and to tap into that hunger, I'm going to stretch him. And he's going to come and join us for an hour and a half prayer meeting with no bullet points. So I jumped on my bike at 5:30 and rode the 30 minutes it took to get to Uncle David's house and joined a room full of men, knelt at a chair. We did it the old-fashioned way. So there were chairs in a circle and we all knelt down, and I would admit some mornings I just fell asleep. Because if you're in this position, it's easy just to kind of lie on the chair like that. But what David and the other brothers taught me was actually how to pray to God with no agenda. Because they had no agenda. Their one agenda was this: adoration. Hour and a half of praying together at how great God is. That's it. So you do that for a few years, you learn something, don't you? He did it on purpose. He did many other things on purpose too. He looked out for me. There was no program over the top of what he was doing, but you might call that mentoring. But he did it on purpose. And I've got to honour the strength that he has given me in my life. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, but when I was being ordained, when you get ordained, you have to have a spiritual director. So I'd probably last seen, Uncle David would have left the church when I was about 17. And 2008, someone can figure out how old I was in 2008. But I was being ordained, and I thought, who do I want to be my spiritual director? And I hadn't seen him for a very long time, so I gave him a call and said, will you be my spiritual director? So he's had two opportunities for significant influence in my life, but it started on his initiative. One of the things that I really enjoy in this church is I enjoy watching our women take those kinds of initiatives. I had a young man reflect to me that he thinks this church is a good church for women. Not because we sing girly songs, though we might, but actually because the women look out for other women and on purpose help each other follow Jesus. I agree with that. It may not be unique to just this church, but it is certainly true of this church, that our women are good at doing that on purpose. The reason why the young man shared it with me is he noted that our men were not so good at it. And there's as much a cultural problem as anything, isn't there, men? We don't talk about what matters. Our sole confidant, and sometimes it's not even this person, is our wife. So we're not used to talking about the things that matter. And then on top of that, The rule is, we men don't talk about our faith. Religion is not a topic of conversation you'll get in a pub, in a sports club, frankly, anywhere. We are taught very clearly, men, to not talk about faith and what matters to us. That's a big problem. Because our younger men actually do need us. They need the Uncle Davids in their life. I'm pointing this man out to you. I could easily count off 10 men that had made that kind of effort in my life. Amazing. If I have any strength in faith, I want to honour those men and their input into my life. Granted, I probably needed to be hungry and I needed to be eager and open. Granted, they needed to probably notice something. But if they noticed it, they did something about it. And men, that needs to change, doesn't it? Needs to change. Not just in our church, but let's be honest, we're responsible for our church. It does need to change. That actually you can follow Jesus, but this is not a private matter. Because the sign of the health of your faith is whether you're helping others follow Jesus too. And we need men to speak to men. I'm in a growth group with a bunch of men. And for those of us, there are a few of us here today, for those of us who are in that group, I think we find it invaluable. Now, we've only been going a year and we're probably just building on that, but I think we find it invaluable because there's a way of looking at the world that I do think is unique to us blokes. We laugh at things that I think women don't find funny. And then we also have a way of trying to navigate that tricky space of vulnerability when actually every man in that room is a strong man. Every man is a strong man. And we've got to navigate carefully together how to be open and transparent. And I would hope that every person in that, every bloke that's in that group is better for being there. So when the opportunity is placed before you, whether it be your children, whether it be your friends, or whether it be someone that you're speaking with, I want you to know this, the initiative lies with you. If I'm talking to, I'm a pastor, right? I've been a youth pastor, and if I'm talking to a year 10 young person, and I can see they're hungry, why is it on them to say to me, can I catch up with you, Jason, and know more about following Jesus? They're year 10. I'm a grown adult. It's on me. I'm the one to say, I see the opportunity. You're hungry. How can we feed that hunger? So if God puts an opportunity before you, you might be talking with someone and you got a sense from God, you got a sense from God that you are here to help them follow Jesus, take the initiative. What would it be like if our children or our young people followed and helped others follow Jesus? Can you imagine that? I can. Last year, I sat in a year 7 to 9 girls growth group at youth group. Some of them are just there and right in that those two rows there. I sat in the group. I was the leader of the group. I had these questions. And it was like I just threw a question out and off they went. They were hungry to talk about following Jesus and to encourage one another. I will say this, it was one of the best groups I've been in all last year. That's what it's like. Sadly, I think our kids and our young people could be better at it than we adults, but they were off hungry, and I have great confidence that you girls will be good for our youth. What's it like? What is it like when we help every one of us, others follow? When our faith moves from being about me and it moves towards being about others? What happens when we're reading our Bibles in the morning and we wonder to ourselves, how will God use this word to encourage another person? Who can I share this with to build them up? What's it like when we're in a church like that? It's fantastic. That's what it's like. When we're in a church which helps others follow Jesus, it is fantastic. And I want to go to that church. Let me pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the people in our life that have helped us grow in faith. The people that have been patient. The people that have been persistent in prayer. The people that have had just the right word from God at the right time. The people who've sat with us week after week as we study the scriptures and do life together. Thank you for those folk. God, I would pray that every single one of us, all the followers of Jesus that are listening to this, may follow and help others follow you. It's an exciting journey for ourselves. It's where your love leads us, and it makes for a vibrant church of God. This year, as we go into the year, may this be true not just for our children, but in fact true for us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.